No way. He'd disliked Chelsea from the start, but she hadn't struck him as sadistic, just obnoxious and too grabby. Sahara nodded.
That's one of the rumors. She gets off on seeing other people humiliated, degraded, and hurt. Normally, I pay no attention to rumors, but if you'd talked to her instead of letting her lick your ear, you might have picked up on her cruel bent. She is not a nice woman.
I didn't let her do anything. Her tongue was never in my ear, and we did talk, smartass, just not very long. Brand gave her a look. I wanted to check on you, and good thing, since you had a kidnapper breathing down your cleavage. Sahara scoffed.
You talked, huh? About what?
Mostly you. Briefly, he wondered if he should tell her the whole truth, but then decided, why not? He liked her show of jealousy, especially since he'd been jealous too. It wasn't like she and Chelsea would ever be friends. From what he'd heard so far, they were more like enemies. She's not a fan of yours.
Well, I would hope not. After all, I have morals, and she does not.
Brand smiled over that. How do you know her, anyway?
Her father contacted Body Armor to hire personal security for her during a big bash. Not uncommon for the wealthy, especially for Chelsea, since her father considers her his precious little jewel.
Sahara twisted her mouth in distaste.
Unfortunately, the agents came back saying they were the ones who'd needed protection from her. She treated them as bought and paid for slaves, which she figured included sexual favors.
Brand whistled low. We're talking about the same men now retired to less high-profile details? Far as he could tell, they were sticks in the mud, suit-wearing uptight middle-aged snobs who might have been top-paid bodyguards at one point, but were probably more for show than results.
Yes. Nothing about the men said sexy and available, but Chelsea didn't care. When they refused her, she carried on in front of them, enacting sexual games that they had to watch in order to stay close enough to protect her. Before you suggest it, no, they didn't enjoy it. In fact, the overall consensus was revulsion.
And he'd been alone with the woman? He should count himself lucky that she'd only tried to cop a few feels. She was pushy, Brand admitted, and she made it clear she didn't like you. But I never guessed she'd go that far.
She's been entitled since the day she was born.
So are you, but you're not pervy. She sent him a brazen smile.
I can be pervy when the mood strikes me, and when the right man is available.
Brand scowled. Laughing, she said,
I meant you.
Oh. Yeah, when it came to sex with Sahara, he was game 100%. Anything you want, honey, anytime you want it, you let me know.
Thank you, I think I will.
She checked a nail.
So, what did the bitch say about me?
Brand gave a short laugh of surprise. Huh, bitch, huh? He really did enjoy her attitude.
I know her better than you.
I get that. So tell me, what happened with the men she hired from Body Armor? They told Scott what she'd done? Sahara nodded.
She'd been after Scott for a while, so she was always on her best behavior around him. He never saw her more devious, cutthroat side. Mostly he considered her a spoiled princess type, but not really dangerous. She told Scott that, yes, she'd flirted with the men after having too much to drink, but that she hadn't meant any harm. It came down to her perception against theirs, and Scott decided they'd only misunderstood. He didn't want to condemn her after one incident, you know. Men,
she said in disgust.
They never seem to realize how lethal women can be.
Suddenly, Brand knew that Sahara had taken matters into her own hands. What did you do? With a careless shrug, she explained,
She was doing her best to get the guards into trouble, and that really infuriated me, especially when Scott didn't 100% side with them.
You went against your brother?
I protected my brother by warning her off.
As if she thought he might criticize her for it, she rushed on, saying,
Scott had done the same for me plenty of times. He was always checking up on anyone I dated, so I just returned the favor. He seemed blinded to her true nature, but I sure wasn't. So I had her followed.
Wow, Brand said. Sahara's relationship with her brother was nothing short of incredible. To him it sounded like they were close, but also adversarial. And for sure, Scott overstepped. Often. Memories had her scowling.
I ended up with some juicy recordings of her in some very bizarre acts.
Bizarre how? She huffed out a breath.
I'd love to give you every gory detail, but part of my deal with her was that I wouldn't expose her if she'd stay away from Scott. Let's just say the rumors are true, and leave it at that.
He imagined Chelsea Tuttle causing harm, and it turned his stomach. One question, okay?
All right.
Did she always have willing partners? Loathing hung heavy in her tone when Sahara replied.
Unfortunately, no. And that's where I drew the line. I reported her to the DA.
Douglas Grant?
Yes, because he knew her better than I did, and because I'd agreed not to expose her, I took Grant's word that he'd handle it.
Since he told me she's like a niece to him, I gather he did nothing?
No, he didn't. The lying bastard.
Brand knew her well enough to guess. You took matters into your own hands?
In a way. I told Chelsea that if I ever heard of her enacting her sick games on anyone else, or if she ever sought out my brother again, I'd happily destroy her. Publicly, financially, and with some physical harm thrown in.
Yep, that sounded like the Sahara he knew and loved. Brand pulled up short on that thought. It was too soon. Too many things were up in the air, and the idea of caring that much unsettled him. But he couldn't keep from touching her. Reaching across the seat, he rested his hand over Sahara's thigh. You're a hell of a great sister, Sahara.
I wonder if Scott would agree.
She covered his hand with her own.
So, Spill, what did the evil one say about me?
Well, it makes more sense now, but basically she said you were a nuisance at Body Armor.
Of all the nerve.
She sounded only mildly insulted, so Brand guessed she'd been expecting something worse. I shut her down.
Did you?
Accused her of being jealous, he grinned. She didn't take it well.
I notice it didn't get her off you.
No, I'm not sure anything short of a crowbar would have accomplished that. The lady was grabby.
Lady is hardly an apt description. Just be glad you didn't go off alone with her. God only knows what would have happened to you.
Since he knew he could hold his own against a woman, no matter how devious or twisted she might be, Brand laughed. They chatted for another 20 minutes while driving until Sahara got out her phone. Who are you calling?
Just trying to reply to that text again.
He waited while she thumbed in a message. And?
Still not received.
She dropped the phone back into her purse.
It is so frustrating.
Brand wondered when she would mention her suspicion. He knew who she thought had sent that text. After everything that had happened, damned if he wasn't starting to think it possible, too. Instead of saying what she had on her mind, she went back to her nemesis.
I still say you looked awfully cozy with Chelsea.
I was shaking her off, and you know it. You're the one who let your kidnapper crawl into your space.
I was trying to find out about my brother.
He kept silent, waiting.
Brand?
Yeah? The sun came out with a vengeance, glaring across the windshield.
Can I tell you something?
He slipped on sunglasses as he took the exit off the freeway. You can tell me anything.
Okay, then.
She drew a breath.
I care an awful lot about you.
Not what he thought she would say. As the words stroked over him like a warm caress, Brand slowly smiled. Is that so? He waited for further confirmation, then he'd tell her that he felt the same. In a sudden rush, she said,
I also think my brother is alive, and in fact, I believe he's the one who sent the warning shot at Ross and then texted me.
She ended that with a huge, beatific smile. Damn, Sahara knew how to take him off guard. First, she sidetracked him with the admission of how much she cared, and then she brought him sharply back around with the speculation on her brother that he'd been expecting. He took a left off the exit, noting how the scenery changed to tall trees and endless fields. The colors of fall were everywhere, making for a beautiful sight beneath the blue sky and bright sun. That's a dangerous habit, honey.
What?
Saying things that make my head spin while I'm driving?
Why would your head spin? It makes sense. Who else would be protecting me if not Scott?
So she didn't want to talk about her first declaration. Since he wasn't sure what to say in return, he let that go for now. As to her brother, he tended to agree, but he wanted to hear her thoughts before he drew too many conclusions of his own. Tell me why you're so sure it's him. If it turned out they were both right, someone would have a lot of explaining to do. She turned to face him.
If Scott faked his own death, he had to have a really good reason. If that reason still exists, it's possible he can't come forward yet, but of course, he'd want to protect me anyway. There's no way he'd let me be hurt if he could stop it.
Brand took yet another turn, and the paved road narrowed to a rough gravel lane as it led to the inherited farm where Maxie and Miles now lived. If you believe all that, then you also have to believe he knew that Ross Moran kidnapped you. and he had done nothing. Why else would he worry about the man being near you unless he knew he was a kidnapper?
Ross said he did a job for Scott and never got paid. If Scott didn't pay him, he had to have a good reason.
So we can assume that he knows Ross personally. Scott would have known the danger existed, but he hadn't insulated Sahara from it. In Brand's view, that was unforgivable. For only a second, Sahara considered that.
Maybe Scott just found out about the kidnapping. Maybe...
From a cornfield on the passenger's side, a beat-up truck barreled out, engine revving at breakneck speed. Cursing, Brand thrust out an arm to pin Sahara back in her seat, then hit the gas, steering one-handed as he attempted to avoid a collision. He didn't quite make it. Deliberately, the truck clipped the back of her car. The wheels lost traction on the loose gravel. They fishtailed wildly, bumped in and out of the ditch before Brand brought the car to a jarring halt in the middle of the road. He glanced in the rearview mirror. He knew Justice wasn't far behind, but he didn't yet see him. The truck, engine still revving, filled his rearview mirror. "Call Justice if you can." Sahara, wide-eyed, scrambled to grab her phone. Her purse had spilled to the floor, and it took a frantic few seconds to locate it. "Tell him we're riding like hell to the house, so if he doesn't catch up, that's why." Just as Brand finished, the truck lunged forward, spitting gravel and filling the air with dust. Vaguely aware of Sahara talking low and fast, Brand stepped on the gas and sped away. He concentrated on staying ahead of the truck and on the country road, despite the sharp twists and turns. Seeing a big curve ahead, he went faster, saying to Sahara, "Fuck this." They'd never make it to the house without another incident. He had to act now. "When I get out, you slide over behind the wheel."
"Brand!"
"Anything happens, you drive on. Do you understand me?"
"I won't leave you,"
she shouted, her tone panicked, her expression appalled. "You will, because I can't do this shit if I have to worry about you. Now promise me, damn it!" She drew a shuddering breath.
"Okay."
He jerked the car to the side of the road, slammed it into park, and stepped out, his gun already in his hand. The truck skidded around the corner. The driver spotted him taking aim in the middle of the road and swerved in surprise before slamming on the brakes. Brand fired. His first shot hit the grill of the truck, the second caught the hood, and the third destroyed a tire. To his surprise, the chicken shits immediately drove into a field in a giant U-turn and ran off. Apparently a direct confrontation hadn't been on the agenda. With the sunshine pouring through their windshield and highlighting both their faces, he'd gotten a good look at them. They were the same men he'd pounded on when he'd found them talking about Sahara after locking her in a basement. Men who worked with Ross Moran. So much for the bastard not hurting her. He watched until he couldn't see the truck anymore, then turned back to Sahara's car. She was behind the wheel, the car in gear, and her foot on the brake. It reassured him that she had listened and was ready to react. Now he knew he could trust her to be reasonable when necessary. Keeping an eye on the road, Brand headed to the driver's side. Sahara immediately put the car in park. Eyes sparking and with a slight tremor to her voice, she climbed out, shouting,
"Don't you ever do that again!"
Bemused, Brand murmured, "So much for being reasonable." When she faced him defiantly, Brand sucked in his breath. Damn. Until that moment, he hadn't realized that she'd hit her head. A thin trail of blood cut down her forehead, across one eyebrow, then along her temple. It came from a swelling lump on the right side of her forehead. "You're hurt!" Mouth tight, she blinked at him.
"That sounds like an accusation."
She thrust a finger at his chest.
"I can't help it that my head bumped the window. It's fine."
"You're not fine, damn it!" He pulled off his shirt and reached for her. "You're bleeding." She took a swift step back.
"Don't you dare soil your shirt. We're already going to be late getting to the party. I don't want you showing up shirtless."
Incredulous, Brand stared at her. Adrenaline still pumped through his blood, and he could barely focus around the rage burning through him. "It's not a party," he gritted out. "And we're heading to the hospital to have you checked." Again, he reached for her. She bumped into the open door. Holding up a hand, she said,
"I have tissues in the car, so I don't need your shirt, and we're not going to the hospital. If I tell you I'm fine, then I'm fine."
Brand lifted her chin, winced at the expanding bruise, and made a decision. "I'm afraid I'll have to pull the boss card." With a gasp, she asked,
"To insist on the hospital? No."
We agreed.
I want to go to the party. I really do. Why can't you just trust me when I say that I'm okay?
It wasn't a damned party, and she was hurt. But her blue eyes pleaded with him. He wasn't a big enough dick to insist when she'd obviously been looking forward to a day out. Against his better judgment, he said, "You'll tell me if you start to feel sick, if your head hurts, or if you get dizzy."
"Yes, I promise."
He blew out a breath. "I do trust you. So if you say you're not hurt that bad, I'll take your word for it."
"Thank you."
She smiled now that she'd gotten her way.
"I actually have a first aid kit in the trunk. I just need a bandage or something."
"Or something. Remember, if you start to feel bad in any way, we're going."
"Sure. Whatever."
Thrusting a hand into his hair, he growled with impotent frustration. She was the most infuriating, unique, incredible woman. Just then, Justice came around the corner, saw them, and pulled up at the side of the road. He whistled when he got out. "Damn, Sahara, you okay?" Happy now that she'd gotten her way, she all but sang,
"Yes, of course,"
and went around to the passenger side to get the tissues while Brand opened the trunk. "She bumped her head," Brand explained to Justice, watching as Fallon hurried to join Sahara. "I wanted to take her to the hospital." "And she refused?" Justice nodded. "Yeah, Sahara isn't a wimp, but she is god-awful stubborn. It'd probably require a severed limb for her to willingly go." Another surge of anger cut through him. "Probably. Help me keep an eye on her, okay?"
"You bet."
"Did you see the truck?" Brand found the kid and went around to the passenger side. "Driving like a bat out of hell, one tire blown. I'd have given chase, but you have Fallon with you." "Yeah," Justice added. "Plus, I wasn't sure what had happened with you two, whether or not you needed help." While Brand used a pre-moistened antiseptic swab to clean away the blood from her face, Sahara detailed the adventure with enthusiasm.
"I was so impressed with Brand's driving. He's as good as I am, and you know I don't give that compliment lightly."
Justice snorted.
"You're a lunatic. I'm still traumatized from the time you decided we were being chased," she grinned.
"I thought we were."
"Bull, you just wanted to show off." Her grin widened even more.
"You could be right."
Brand had difficulty breathing, so he sure as hell couldn't grin. She was hurt, bruised and bleeding. The attacks were adding up. No one knew when the next might happen or how much worse it might be. How could she keep joking? Fallon, Justice's fiancé, joined them, her soft eyes concerned.
"At least you didn't get much blood in your hair." "True. Good thing I'd put it in a braid."
She looked down at herself.
"Unfortunately, I did get some on my shirt, but it's dark, so I should be able to rinse it out."
Already, the bleeding had stopped, but Brand saw that the swelling was worse. "We need to get some ice on this."
"We're not far from the house,"
she said.
"I'll take care of it then."
She stared up at Brand.
"Is it colorful?"
"Very."
"Is that why you look so grim?"
The urge to chase down the bastards and annihilate them scorched any efforts at being pleasant. "We were damn near T-boned on purpose, driven off the road, and you got hurt. What do you think would have happened if they'd gotten to you?" With a small butterfly bandage now on her head, she snuggled against him, saying soothingly,
"I knew you wouldn't let that happen."
Did she really have that much faith in him, or was it that nothing ever truly rattled her? He couldn't say, but he crushed her close, uncaring that Justice rolled his eyes and Fallon smiled. Against his chest, Sahara asked,
"Is my car hurt?"
"Yeah, but it can be repaired."
"I know."
She patted his back.
"You recognize them, too?"
"The same bozos I stomped when I..."
"Rescued me."
She leaned back to grin at him.
"And this time was no less daring."
"Sahara," he said with exasperation. The last thing he wanted was for her to romanticize the whole thing. She turned to Justice.
"I wish you could have seen him step out into the middle of the road, legs braced apart, arms straight as he took aim. Very dirty Harry-ish."
She shivered dramatically.
"Made my heart pound. It was so sexy."
"Yeah," Justice said, giving Brand a hard whack on the shoulder. "I bet that's exactly how he wants you to describe it."
The irony in his tone made Brand's ears hot.
"Fuck off, Justice."
Both Sahara and Fallon laughed. With everyone being ridiculous, it was another 15 minutes before they finally arrived at the house. Fall was especially in evidence here. Maxie had inherited a small house on a beautiful piece of land, surrounded by an assortment of trees, now displaying various shades of red, orange, and yellow. Sunlight glittered through the leaves and off the large pond. Dozens of feral cats perched around the property, watching their arrival. Justice had obviously called ahead because the crew had congregated to meet them. Miles already had an ice pack ready, and his fiancée, Maxie, led Sahara directly to a full lounge chair where she and Catalina, Lisa's wife, insisted she sit.
"Good luck with that," Brand wanted to say. He'd be willing to bet Sahara wouldn't stay down for more than a minute or two. The woman didn't understand her own lack of strength. Catalina served Sahara a tall, cool drink. Together the women huddled around her. They were a mix of styles, with Catalina's long light brown hair, blue eyes, and casual flair for sloppy comfort, Fallon's shoulder-length dark hair and darker eyes with more tailored clothes, and Maxie's long blonde hair and cutting-edge fashion. And then there was Sahara, different from each of them, a self-proclaimed shark who at the moment appeared overwhelmed. Brand noticed the slightly dumbfounded expression on her face and found his first smile. To Lise, he asked, "Was this your idea?" Lise nodded in satisfaction. "I might have given the women a nudge, but you know how they are. It didn't take much." "Nurturing," Miles said. "Every one of them." All but Sahara. She was a caring person, but she wasn't much of a coddler. He wondered how she'd be with kids. He recalled the assignment she'd had early on protecting the little girl. She'd kill for a child, no problem, and he knew she'd raise a daughter or son to be strong and independent. That was a lot, whether she was into kissing boo-boos or not.
"She'll tell any one of us to back off," Lise said. "But she tries to be nicer to the ladies."
Justice laughed.
"Huh, I hadn't noticed that before, but you're right. Look at her taking aspirin from Fallon. If I tried that, she'd tell me to take them."
"Or ask you in a very condescending voice if you'd managed to hurt yourself," Miles said.
Brand watched her, how carefully she reacted with the women, how stoic she was about her injury. And he knew he couldn't fight the inevitable. He was in love.
It didn't surprise him.
Sahara had been stealing his heart little by little ever since he'd met her. The big question was, what to do about it? Chapter 13. Sahara felt numb. If the guys were trying to pin her down, she'd have already gleefully rebelled. But it was the women, and she liked them all so much that she didn't want to inadvertently offend any of them by telling them to buzz off. So while Brand and the other men were rapidly building a beautiful gazebo, she sat there like a useless lump in the lounge chair, cats all around her, an ice pack on her head, her drink constantly refilled, even a cushion under her feet, until she couldn't take it a second longer. It was almost laughable that when she sat up and tossed aside the ice, all three women jumped toward her.
"Please," she said with a grin, "relax, you're scaring the cats."
When Maxie inherited the farm, it came with dozens of feral cats, most of them not so wild anymore. Sahara hadn't been in the chair long before three of them had decided she'd make a comfortable place to snooze. Of course, each of the other women also petted the felines. Maxie and Miles had gotten the animals spayed or neutered, vaccinated, and they were fed twice a day.
"You shouldn't be up,"
Fallon warned. Sahara laughed.
"Of course I should. I'm not great with idle time. But you're hurt," Catalina said. "Not really, just a bump."
She stood and looked at each of them. A gentle breeze stirred the colorful leaves in the trees, prompting several to twirl gracefully to the ground. She loved fall. She didn't love being treated like an invalid.
"I appreciate the concern, I really do. I hesitated to say that you're overdoing the mollycoddling because I didn't want to sound unappreciative or something. Then I realized that just because you're women doesn't mean you're faint-hearted. It doesn't mean your feelings are fragile, right? After all, you're strong women."
She thrust up a fist in a sign of unity.
"And as strong women, you know that being female doesn't make us more delicate than men. Actually,"
Fallon said,
"I'm definitely more delicate than Justice."
Catalina snorted.
"An elephant is more delicate than him."
Maxie laughed when Fallon swatted at Cat.
"But you're still just as strong,"
Sahara insisted.
"As Justice?"
Fallon quirked a brow.
"Not likely." "She means emotionally,"
Maxie said.
"And in theory, I agree. But when I was having all my trouble here at the farm, it was awfully nice to lean on Miles. And I'm sure he's leaned on you, too.
She shrugged.
Maybe. Most times he's so confident that he focuses more on protecting than any leaning.
Hmm. Sahara gave that some thought and realized that Brand was the same. He wanted her to lean on him, to let him protect her and care for her, but despite all the turmoil with Becky, he didn't reciprocate. He needed to talk to her about his feelings so she could show that she understood. Maybe once he did that, he'd understand her equal need to help, and then she could tell him the different ways she was trying to make Becky less of a burden. Seeing that the women weren't understanding, Sahara sighed, then propped her hands on her hips.
My point is that I'm fine, and I want to think you're all grounded enough that you won't be offended when I say enough is enough.
They each watched her with varying degrees of concern. It was so ridiculous, she almost laughed.
I'm going to give Brand hell, because if we'd stopped to get food and drinks, we might have missed those morons who tried to run us off the road.
She'd already explained every detail of the attack to the women. They'd been duly horrified.
Food and drinks for what?
Maxie asked.
Here.
When Maxie gave her a blank look, Sahara explained,
I didn't want to come empty-handed. I know that's rude, but Brand wouldn't stop. Oh, please, you're invited guests. Besides, good friends are welcome any time. No gifts needed.
Good friends? Struck by that possibility, Sahara asked,
You mean Brand?
She shrugged.
Sure. And you?
Catalina chimed in.
I know you're the boss and everything, but you're still one of us. A significant other, she means.
Fallon said. Was she a significant other?
Brand said we're in a relationship. Duh,
Catalina said.
Was that in question? Justice said he's never seen Brand act like he does with you.
Maxie nodded.
Miles says that usually he's pretty distant with women. I mean, not physically distant, but it's different with you. You two seem close. Connected.
Fallon added. Only a minute before, Sahara had been determined to join the men in building the gazebo. She'd wanted to hammer something, damn it. She'd wanted to prove she was strong and capable, not a woman who wilted over a bump. Now, though, she decided she'd rather stay right where she was, chatting with the women. The conversation proved insightful. She'd love to hear more about how Brand was different with her from how he was with other women. Mind made up, she reseated herself in the lounge chair and even put her feet back on the cushion. The cats took that as an invitation and curled up against her again, one on her lap, one against her hip, one by her knees. It turned into a very enjoyable afternoon. Different for sure, given the lazy way she sat around talking, but still very fun. She couldn't imagine a prettier setting. Even being overrun with cats, multiple birds flitted in and out of the trees. The day remained mild, sunny, with just enough of a breeze to tease over her skin. Watching Brand work was never a hardship. She loved seeing the muscles in his back flex, how his biceps bulged, how those delicious abs tightened. Unlike the other guys, who sometimes got scruffy but eventually shaved, Brand sported the short, trimmed beard and mustache. Sahara found she liked the rugged look. She especially liked the way his stubble tickled her skin when he kissed her in various sensitive places. She had to admit, she had some serious hunks working for her. Each one of them was gorgeous in their own way, but in her opinion, Brand was by far the handsomest. Around noon, the men came up to the house for food. While they washed up, Catalina grilled hamburgers and hot dogs, and Fallon and Maxie carried out trays of side dishes and drinks. Sahara was about to help with that when a message dinged on her phone. Brand stood nearby, guzzling water, shirtless. But then, all the guys were shirtless now. Most were barefoot, too, since part of the work on the gazebo required standing in the pond. Brand looked her way as she got out her phone. Given the stark expression on his face, she wasn't the only one concerned that it could be another anonymous text. She unlocked her phone and saw a photo from Becky. Brand's mother sat on her new love seat, and she looked so happy that Sahara was filled with pride. What the hell? She jumped when Brand took the phone from her limp hand. He had approached so silently she hadn't been aware of him looking over her shoulder, and now dread filled her. Trying not to appear as guilty as she felt, she said,
It's Becky. Look at her smile. I think her attitude is improving.
For far too long, Brand studied the photo in foreboding silence. Finally, His expression cold, he said, "I take it this was your doing?" She barely resisted the urge to wince.
"Which part?"
"All of it." His jaw clenched as he stared down at her. "The hairdo, makeup, the couch?" Oh, this wasn't going well at all. She swallowed down her unease and tried for a bright tone.
"Well, I did lend her a stylist so she could refresh her appearance after her long illness. It always makes a woman feel better to look her best."
No reply. Normally, she could outweigh the best of them, but this was Brand, and the guilt was coming on strong and fast. She glanced around and saw that everyone had clustered near the long picnic table piled with food, including the horde of cats. Keeping her voice low, she said,
"I wanted to help."
There was no understanding in his tone when he said, "I asked you not to get involved." No, he'd flat out told her not to, thus the guilt.
"You said I couldn't take her shopping. So I didn't."
"Don't play with my words. Worse and worse."
"All right."
"She's not in the hospital bed." He glanced at the phone, then gestured with it. "She's on some frou-frou loveseat thing." Sahara would have been offended by that description, but it was rather frou-frou, with the floral pattern and overstuffed cushions. Why was it so hard to say? Sahara stiffened her spine.
"I bought it for her. I figured if I could get her out of the bed..."
"It wasn't your job to get her out of bed." He didn't raise his voice, but she felt bludgeoned by his quiet anger all the same.
"Not my job, no, but I..."
"Anything else?" He continued to study the picture. "The clothes she's wearing?"
"I sent those to her."
Probably best to come clean, she decided.
5 outfits in all, I believe. More if she mixes and matches them."
When his icy gaze finally came to her, he zeroed in on her bandaged head, and his mouth flattened. He was too subdued for the anger she knew he had to feel, the anger she could see. Suddenly, it hit her why. Slowly, she stood. Guilty or not, she wouldn't let him treat her like a wilting flower.
"Oh, no, you don't. Don't hold back just because I got a bump on the head. I keep telling you I'm fine."
She held out her arms.
"If you want to blast me for overstepping, have at it. I won't break."
A strange, turbulent emotion narrowed his dark eyes. He looked so explosive that she quickly added,
"My only request is that you do so in private."
After a long, silent moment, he smirked, "Because you're the boss and you don't want your underlings to see you catching hell?" Damn, he made her feel small. She lifted her chin.
"Actually, because they're friends. At least I think they are. The lady said we were, so I assumed..."
He laughed, but it wasn't a nice sound. Before she'd met Brand, she seldom suffered uncertainty or angst over a decision. She'd always pushed forward with confidence. Now, though, it seemed those unfamiliar feelings leveled her on a regular basis. Yes, she had done things he'd asked her not to, but it had felt right at the time, because she knew, in the long run, it would help him. Because she liked to face things head-on, Sahara released a slow breath and admitted softly,
"Every time I turn around, I find myself in another impossible position with you."
Maybe it was the resignation in her tone, but Brand's gaze sharpened on her. "What the hell is that supposed to mean?" She rolled one shoulder.
"I wanted you to work for me, and I also wanted to date you. Big conflict, right?"
"You understand my position on that?" "Yes." He thought she was too bossy, especially when he preferred to be the boss.
"Then there's Ross Moran."
"He sent his buddies after you again today."
"I know."
She was eternally grateful that they hadn't gotten to her and that Brand hadn't been hurt.
"But I still need to talk to him to get info on my brother, and you just want to annihilate him."
Agitated, Brand folded his arms. "He's still breathing, isn't he? I can show restraint when necessary." She picked up a cat, holding it in her arms like a baby, taking comfort from its rumbling purr.
"Now this."
Her head started to pound, but she didn't think it had anything to do with hitting the windshield, not when her chest also felt tight, and her throat was getting thick. If she didn't know better, she might have thought she was choked up. She kissed the cat's head, nuzzling the soft fur.
"You won't give me a chance to explain, but I was trying to help with your mother."
"I told you to stay out of it."
"I know."
It bothered her that she'd upset him.
"The thing is, I'm not good at staying out of situations, especially not if I think I can help."
She looked up at him, owning her flaws, admitting the truth.
I'm the type of person who is going to dive in. That's just me, Brand.
And it would probably be one more thing he disliked.
I'm sorry.
He ran a hand over the back of his neck, checked that no one was close, then pinned her with a heated stare. As long as my mother remains sour and difficult, I can resent helping her. But if she starts showing appreciation, then I'm gonna feel like an ass for being so surly about it. Her eyes widened.
You want to resent her?
After a lifetime, it's what I'm used to. He looked away. And she doesn't deserve anything more.
No, she doesn't.
But Brand did. Softening her voice in deference to his mood, Sahara said,
I wasn't thinking about her when I decided to...
Interfere? Helpless to deny that, she shrugged.
Yes.
Hindsight was a bitch, but seeing things from Brand's perspective, Sahara had to admit that she'd badly miscalculated. She didn't blame him for being angry. She again said,
I'm sorry.
Truthfully, she didn't think she was a bad person, but maybe she had to do more introspection. She would better accomplish that on her own, away from outside influences. Away from Brand. She was just about to explain that to him when her phone dinged again. Brand glanced at it, and one brow climbed high. You're anonymous tipster this time? She squeezed into his side so she could read the message as well. Don't go out alone. It's not safe. Trust no one. Cryptic bastard, Brand growled. Sahara glared up at him.
That's probably my brother.
He didn't care if it was the Pope. Sahara deserved a direct reply, not all this cat-and-mouse bullshit where neither of them knew what to think. It enraged him when he thought of the danger surrounding her. She'd been kidnapped by a goon bold enough to approach her at an exclusive party, had shots fired near her, and been nearly run off the road. Brand had a feeling the danger was ramping up rather than receding, and it left him helpless to ensure her safety, especially when she appeared so cavalier about it. That alone made him more disgruntled than usual, but add that to the text from his mother, Sahara had made Becky smile. How long had it been since he'd seen his mother happy? Probably never. Over the years, whenever she'd come by, it hadn't been to visit him but to squeeze money out of Anne. Most times, she barely noticed her son, and when she did notice him, it wasn't to share a soft word of affection or to show any caring. Not once had she given even a hint of regret for letting him go. She'd seen him only as a tool she could use to her own advantage. In fact, she'd never sought him out until her cardiac arrest. Then, with no one else that she could turn to, she'd suddenly remembered that she had a son. He didn't like being bitter. It made him feel like the sulky, hurt kid he'd once been, yet he couldn't stop the corrosive resentment from eating away at him like acid. Sahara had pampered Becky, when she wasn't the type to do that. She'd gotten Becky to smile when Brand thought his mother didn't know how. Sahara was fucking friendly with her, even though the woman had abandoned him. Screwed up as it might be, that somehow felt like a betrayal. He wanted to unleash his frustrated anger, but he was at a disadvantage. Despite the brave front she put on, Sahara was hurt, and he didn't want to exacerbate her discomfort. Since you think this is your brother, I assume you'll follow his instructions and show more caution? She chewed her lip.
Scott could be in trouble. He might need me.
Unfucking believable, she scowled.
You know I don't like that word.
I don't like you intruding into my private business, but that didn't stop you, did it? The careless insult made her wince, but a second later she squared off with him. Pointing at the phone, she snapped,
Then maybe you should remember that this is my private business.
Huh. She'd certainly turned that one around on him. You're determined to get yourself killed, aren't you? Sahara snorted.
You keep thinking I'm an idiot when I'm not. I know how to make good decisions, and I will, but I don't need you or my brother dictating to me about when and where I go or what I can do.
So it wasn't just him she'd defy, but Scott, too? A little floored, Brand stared at her. That wasn't at all what he'd expected. Sure, he knew Sahara defined independence, but he'd somehow gotten the impression she worshipped her brother and fell into line over his every request. I would have bet money you did whatever Big Brother told you to. She sent him a mocking smile.
Be glad that I don't, because if you read the text again, You'll see that he also ordered me to trust no one.
She swept out a hand.
But I trust everyone here today, you most of all.
Her statement proved a balm, helping him to calm his anger. Suddenly, he felt like an ass for his reaction over Becky. If you mean that, then, she interrupted to say,
in return, you have to trust me to know what I'm doing.
Caution crept into her expression.
That is, unless you're so mad about that business with your mother that our relationship is ready to crash and burn.
Oh no, he wouldn't leave her safety to anyone else. You're stuck with me for now, she scowled.
How long is for now?
Did she have to challenge him at every turn? Running a hand over his face, Brand knew he needed reinforcements, so he turned to the group.
No,
Sahara hissed, already guessing what he'd do. As if he hadn't heard her protest, he called out, Sahara got another text! Heads lifted, frowns fell into place, and as one, the small group started toward them. Sahara shot him an accusing frown.
That was a dirty trick.
Brand cocked a brow. You want to complain to me when you've been sneaking behind my back with my mother?
Well,
she relented.
Not if you put it like that.
There's no other way to put it. She briefly closed her eyes, and Brand didn't know if it was from remorse or pain in her head. He'd feel a lot better about things if she would have agreed to go to the hospital. We'll talk about it later.
Thanks for nothing.
Now she was pissed? Well, misery loved company, Brand told himself. Eventually they'd work it all out. When Lise and the others reached them, Brand stepped back and watched the confusion, fury, and insistence unfold. Odds were the guys wouldn't be able to curb her recklessness, but the women might. He was counting on it. Hours later, a little sunburned but in better control of his temper, Brand let them into the suite. They'd gotten home without incident, but then they'd formed a small caravan with Justice and Fallon in the lead, Sahara and him in the middle, and Lise and Catalina in the rear. Everyone had been alert, wary of another attack, especially on the country roads. Once they'd reached the highway, they'd all relaxed a bit while still remaining vigilant. The others had followed them right up to the parking lot of the body armor agency, then waited until he and Sahara got in the door. For her part, Sahara was subdued, which in itself was alarming since subdued wasn't a word normally used to describe her. He couldn't tell if she was angry, worried, or if maybe her head hurt. She'd been through so much in such a short time and still didn't crumble. Under the circumstances, losing some of her sparkle was understandable.
I'm going to take a shower,
she said on her way past him. Brand gently caught her elbow. She paused, but didn't face him. Hey, are you okay? He drew her around and with two fingers lifted her chin so she had no choice but to meet his gaze. Does your head hurt? She gave a brief, restrained smile.
Not really.
He coasted his fingertips along her delicate jaw. Is there anything I can get you? For a second, she looked devastated. Then she stepped against him, her arms around him and her head on his chest. Voice muffled against him, she asked,
Are you still mad at me?
Never would Brand believe that it was his anger alone that had her so submissive. In most instances, Sahara would just fight back, not retreat. My relationship with my mother is complicated.
That's a non-answer.
She leaned back to see him again.
And, like I already told you, my relationship with Scott is also complicated. Lately, it seems my entire life is complicated. What if I wanted you to stay out of it?
It struck him that her feelings were hurt. You feel like I've cut you out? Disgusted, she shoved away and gave him her back, her arms hugged around her.
How can you cut me out when you've never let me in?
Now wait a minute. She was twisting everything around. We're talking about you, not me.
Always, I know.
She looked over her shoulder.
I had to twist your arm to take me along to meet your parents and Becky.
He wanted to say he'd hesitated because he'd known she would interfere. But as she turned, the look on her face stopped him. We've been a little busy, if you'll recall. I couldn't see confusing things even more. As if she'd hoped for something different, she briefly closed her eyes, then opened them again and forced a small smile.
Yes, it has been chaotic.
Exactly. He started to close the space between them. Suddenly, it felt like more than just a few feet. Sahara stepped back, and that stopped him, just as she'd intended. After a deep breath, she said,
"I'm not sure I can change."
He didn't understand her, or this uncertain mood, but he knew one thing for sure. "You don't need to change."
"But we'll keep butting heads if I don't."
She bit her bottom lip.
"I don't know what to do."
For Brand, it felt like he was fighting for something very important, so he hoped he got the words right. And fuck the distance. He took two big steps to reach her and drew her against him. Hugging her, he whispered, "You don't need to do anything, babe. We're in a relationship, and sometimes that requires adjustment." Her hands fisted in his shirt.
"I'm not sure I like the idea of constantly having to adjust."
"Why not?" Her hair and skin smelled of the sunshine and fresh outdoors. They'd gone from him being annoyed to her being distant, and yet he felt lust stirring. He couldn't be near Sahara without wanting her. With a grin, he said, "I've sure as hell had to adjust."
"You? Why would you have to?"
Again, she pushed back to see him.
"You're perfect as you are."
A rueful laugh took him by surprise. "Perfect? God, Sahara, I'm so far from perfect, half the time I don't even know what I'm doing."
"You always know what you're doing."
He shook his head.
"And I used to, until lately."
"Until me?" Damn, he hated that idea. Brand cupped her face and bent his knees to look right into her eyes. "Let's agree that we both blundered a little, okay? I know it's an uncomfortable feeling, but I'm not giving you up."
"You're not?"
"Hell no." Set on convincing her, he took her mouth in a firm kiss. Sahara sank against him, returning the kiss with urgency. As he eased up, he whispered, "It's been a long day, so how about we draw some guidelines and going forward, we'll both do our best to stick to them." Her eyes searched his.
"And if we don't?"
She meant if she didn't, so Brand kissed her again. "Then we'll each try harder to understand." Very slowly, a smile curled her mouth.
"In that case, would you like to shower with me?"
Chapter 14. Sahara awoke before Brand. She sighed as she nuzzled against the side of his broad, warm chest. Her right hand rested over a hair-dusted peck, and, careful not to wake him, she let her fingers tease through the crisp hair. He smelled incredible, a scent unique to Brand. Even in sleep, he held her close, his strong arm around her. Brand slept on his back, the covers down around his waist. She was on her side, tucked against him, one leg over his, the inside of her knee against his groin. They were both naked. Last night had been beyond amazing. Sahara didn't know if it was the excitement of the day or their personal conflict, but Brand had been especially attentive, leaving no part of her untouched. He'd been in a take-charge mode, a little dominant, and she'd loved every second of it. He had a way of issuing sensual orders that stole her breath and heightened her anticipation. Even before he'd thrust into her, she'd been on the verge of release, but he'd held back, content to watch her climax. Then he'd made that happen two more times before he finally let himself go. It was no wonder she'd awakened with a smile in place. Even more important than the incredible sex was that Brand hadn't let her ruin things. He'd taken her doubts and somehow reassured her without letting her off the hook for meddling in his private business. Now, after a good night's sleep and a new perspective, Sahara was so glad. They'd still have to talk about Becky, but at least she felt he'd listen to her explanations and maybe give her ideas a chance to work. She also thought about his denial of being perfect. Without the glum attitude of yesterday, she could think about that more realistically. Brand was right. He wasn't perfect. Suddenly he stirred, his arm tightening around her in a brief hug before he even opened his eyes. Sounding sexy and sleepy, he rumbled, "Good morning, gorgeous."
"Morning."
She half crawled over him, her elbows on his chest.
"Sleep well?"
"After the way you wore me out, yeah."
"Me?"
She gave him a laughing kiss.
"I'm the one who was tortured with orgasms."
"Tortured, huh?"
His lashes lifted and his dark, smoky eyes met hers.
I love watching you come, Sahara.
In that case, feel free to do a repeat whenever you want.
His hand slid down her back to her bottom, and she quickly found herself completely over him, her legs trapped between his.
I don't suppose we have time this morning?
She glanced at the clock, then let out a sigh of disappointment.
Lucky I'm the boss, because I'm already running late.
He lightly touched the bandage on her head. I'm sure everyone will understand under the circumstances. Sahara frowned.
I thought about what you said, and came to the conclusion that you're right.
Wariness entered his eyes. About what?
You not being perfect.
She gave him a quick kiss so he wouldn't be insulted.
Case in point is your insistence that a little bump on the head is a big deal. You know if it had been justice, you wouldn't have given it a thought.
His gaze drifted down to her exposed cleavage, exaggerated by the way her breasts squashed against his chest.
Justice was a fighter. He's had plenty of head wounds and knows how to judge if it's serious or not.
You think Justice has more sense than me?
Justice might act goofy, but he's not. Besides, this is about experience, not intelligence.
She gave that some thought and decided to let it go.
You also accused me of being bossy, but I think you're even bossier.
He smiled. When it comes to keeping you safe, you bet. He had both hands on her rear, gently kneading. And for the record, I like your bossiness. Your strength and independence are both sexy as hell. Sahara reared up more to give him a look of incredulity.
You definitely made it sound like a complaint.
For me to work for you? Yeah. But not for this.
He pressed a growing erection to her belly.
Not for a relationship.
Oh.
It was hard to concentrate when she felt him full and hard, throbbing beneath her.
Well, I think you're a little too autocratic.
You would, since you like doing things your own way without answering to anyone. But that's what relationships are, honey. Give and take.
What are you going to give?
He smiled.
How about we have this discussion over coffee?
So what he'd give would require a whole discussion?
Count me in.
She couldn't wait to hear it.
I'll get the coffee started and then meet you in the kitchen in 15 minutes.
She scrambled off the bed and headed for the bathroom without waiting for a reply. When she emerged a few minutes later, her face washed and her teeth brushed, Brand was no longer in the bed. She pulled on his discarded shirt from yesterday and went to the kitchen to make the coffee. Back in her bedroom, she chose an outfit to wear and quickly dressed, stepped into her shoes, and contained her hair in a long, sleek ponytail fastened at the nape of her neck. She applied her usual makeup in under 5 minutes, then headed to the kitchen. With smug satisfaction, she saw that she'd beat Brand in getting ready. Yes, she was competitive, and whenever possible she tried to prove that she wasn't the stereotypical female who needed hours to prepare for her day. She'd just filled her coffee cup when her cell phone rang. For a heartbeat, she stared at it, then at the doorway to see if Brand would come charging in. He'd gotten decidedly protective about the anonymous messages she'd received. He didn't appear, so she assumed he hadn't heard the ring. Finally ungluing her feet from the floor, Sahara lunged forward and glanced at the screen. It was Enoch. Anxious, she snatched up the phone and swiped her thumb across the screen.
Enoch, good morning. Everything okay? Good morning, Sahara.
Recognizing something in his tone, she asked breathlessly,
What's the matter?
He paused, then gave a short laugh.
I never could keep anything from you. Why would you want to?
Again, she looked to ensure Brand hadn't approached without her notice. She lowered her voice to keep from drawing his attention in case he could hear her.
You're my bestie, Enoch. You can tell me anything. It's just that I'd prefer you not get your hopes up, or do anything crazy. It's about Scott, isn't it?
Her brother was the only topic that could get her hopes up, or make her do crazy things. She hadn't yet had a chance to update Enoch on her weekend. She would have done that first thing this morning. After doing a happy twirl across the kitchen floor, she said,
Tell me. It might be Scott. I would have explained when you reached the office, but Brand usually escorts you down and then you have a meeting right after, so I figured I'd call. You're killing me, Enoch.
She felt like she might jump out of her skin in anticipation.
What is it? Your PI called me. I didn't understand why at first, but he had a message to pass along, and he was instructed that no one else should know. Meaning he didn't want to chance calling me directly. Supposedly an order that came from Scott. But since the PI has never spoken with Scott, he can't say for sure, and that means you have to be extra, extra cautious. Promise me, Sahara. A message?
From the day her brother had gone missing, she'd had a PI looking for him. Every day she hoped for a clue, any clue that proved Scott was still around.
What message?
He spilled everything in a rush.
Someone claiming to be Scott called and said he'd been aware of the investigation for a while, and apparently he'd been dodging detection, but now he feels he has to reach out to you. He wants you to meet him tonight.
Already planning on how she'd make it happen, she demanded,
Where? Promise me first, or I won't tell you anything else. I need your word that you'll be careful. Of course, careful is my middle name.
No, he corrected with exaggerated patience.
Insanely reckless and impetuous is your middle name, especially where Scott is concerned.
Sahara squeezed the phone and frowned.
What is the message?
Enoch groaned.
The person claiming to be Scott wants to meet with you privately, just you and no one else. He said he doesn't know these new bodyguards you've brought on board, and you've all but retired the established guards.
Sahara went on defense without thinking about it.
The men I hired are better in every single way. It figures that Scott would second-guess me. Usually I concede to his judgment, but not this time. If it turns out it really is Scott, you can tell him all about it. But my concern is that he wants you to come alone.
Since she totally believed Scott was alive and arranging to reconnect with her, she waved off Enoch's worry.
Where?
Enoch sighed.
I don't know exactly, but he said it's where the two of you used to go to talk.
She didn't have to think about it at all. She knew exactly where he meant.
It's definitely Scott. You know where he means? Yes, of course.
They'd often gone to the quiet spot near the river behind the privacy fence of her parents' property.
Tell Brand. Are you nuts? Brand would flip out, and then he'd get all macho and protective and insist on going along. And since Scott doesn't know or trust him...
He should trust him because you trust him. Unfortunately, her relationship with her big brother had never worked that way. She assumed he would always think of her as his little sister first, and a responsible, intelligent adult second.
I'm sure I can convince him, especially once he meets the guys, but until then...
From behind her, Brand said, Until then, you're going nowhere without me. Sahara froze. Damn and blast. How had she forgotten to watch for Brand? She'd gotten so excited about seeing Scott again, about having his survival confirmed, that she'd been oblivious to everything else. Through the phone, Enoch whispered,
Brand walked in? Yes, I'll let you go.
He disconnected before she could stop him. And still Sahara didn't move. She kept the phone to her ear, her thoughts rushing first one way, then another, as she tried to figure out how to explain. Finally, deciding she'd just insist that she was the boss and this was her very personal business, she lowered the phone and turned to Brand with an artificial smile. The smile vanished when she saw that he was on his own phone. She heard him say, Lise, can you get everyone together? Yeah, real important. His assessing gaze met Sahara's. Your boss is planning to sneak out on her own to meet someone who may or may not be her brother. He nodded, his smile grim, and said, My thoughts exactly. Right. I'll see you in an hour. Enoch gave her a look of sympathy as she entered his office with Brand and found Miles, Justice, and Lise all waiting. They stared at her with mixed concern and resolve.
Don't you all have assignments?
She groused.
Rearranged,
Enoch explained.
Lise has 90 minutes, Miles and Justice have 2 hours. And Brand,
she remarked in a saccharine tone,
has all the time in the world to butt in.
That's what I'm willing to take, Brand said. Your sarcasm. Realizing that he'd harked back to the discussion they should have had in the kitchen, she made a face. And I'm willing to give you all the leeway you need as long as you don't endanger yourself. Which meant no leeway at all. In turn, he continued, you could try a little trust. Seeing no hope for it, Sahara nodded.
You know I trust you.
Thank you. To Enoch, Brand asked, Got a conference room ready?
This way.
Enoch led the small troop down a hall to a private boardroom that featured a long table and 10 chairs, a wall of windows overlooking the river, and a full coffee pot with cups, cream, and sugar already set out. Brand stuck close to Sahara, following her as she headed to the farthest end. Disgruntled, she said low,
We were supposed to be talking about Becky.
Why? You agreed to try not to butt in, and I agreed to be understanding if you do. Unlike her, Brand seemed to be taking everything in stride, and his inexhaustible patience made her want to scream. He pulled out a rolling chair at the head of the table for her, then took the seat beside her as the others chose chairs nearby at either side.